Well, hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Once again, I want to remind you about our year-end giving campaign. We're very excited. Thanks to these donors, we have $25,000 to match from our boundless audience for our year-end giving initiative, which is going to help you help other young adults. If you've been helped by Boundless, now's the time to give back between now and December 31st. Every dollar for dollar, will be matched by our matching gift. So go ahead. Go to boundless.org/donate. Be part of our fun Boundless family that's giving this year to Boundless at the end of the year. Boundless.org/donate. Just hop over to Boundless. You can click on the donate tab. A number of different ways to get there. Awesome. All right. Later on in the show, we're going to have a question answered by one of our counselors on it's a non-Christian mom who is pressuring her child to get married. And so how does she navigate that with grace and love? Then for our culture segment, we have Jeremy Kubicek. He wrote the book Five Gears, How to Be Present and Productive When There's Never Enough Time. A great topic heading into the end of the year and looking ahead at the next one. And speaking of which, we're going to tailor this conversation for our roundtable kind of to the holidays in particular. We have got Adam, Rachel, and Carol here. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey.
Great to have you. Thanks. We're going to talk about the holidays, specifically how to own the holidays without them owning you. So I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like whenever I hit January 1st, there were a lot of things I had hoped my holidays were going to be, and then they didn't end up being that way. And I don't know if I just like, you know, tack up a little Courier and Ives postcard and think that that's what my Christmas and, you know, over the river and through the woods for Thanksgiving is going to look like. And all of a sudden I'm in Costco and I'm not liking people and I never got things out the door that I wanted and I'm just mad. And so hopefully y'all have better strategies than I've had in the past. But let's go ahead and jump into this. And I'll start out just by saying, like, for me, I have not done Christmas cards in I don't even know how long. I would say probably going on 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
I want to do Christmas cards. And this year I'm determined to do Christmas cards because I have like new things going on in my life, people. But I'm also moving during December.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, is that like way too ambitious? So how am I going to prioritize? Something's going to have to go basically in my Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's celebration. So I need to come up with a strategy for that because currently I have none. What do you guys think? Like when you think of November and December now, Thanksgiving, Christmas, heading into New Year's, do you have feelings of angst? Like, what do you do you have a vision of what should be versus what actually is? What's going on in your heads?
There's definitely that conflict. When I taught school, even, I literally wrote Christmas cards in July.
Oh, my
Because
word.
I wanted to get Christmas cards
You're like
out.
So organized,
well,
Carol.
But it never felt right. You know, it just never felt like in the season. So there were a few years once I came to Focus, there were a few years where I did not do Christmas cards because I didn't feel like I had time. But that was a big loss. And so the past 3 or 4 years, I've gotten back into it. But for example, I do photo cards that I can just do one general message on the front and then have room on the back to write a personalized card.
Okay.
You know, keep 4 or 5 of them in your purse when you have a minute, you know, or you're waiting in line. You can go ahead and just write a few while you're waiting. But it is a conflict because you know what's important and you want to take care of people. The other thing, I guess, if you, you know, even wanted to wait until a New Year's card, if you're moving and you want to wait until after that's done and then catch people up.
Okay, this is, Carol is the one who invited me to a party one time where not only was it like super cute and we did this like book exchange, but she had us sit down and like make these bookmarks. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean,
that's cute.
So you know that she's already planned out her holidays and knows what she's doing. So this whole idea of like, oh, I don't know how to do this, you know, whatever. Okay, she's like our expert, but okay.
Well, and I wonder if the holidays are sort of our culture writ large. And what I mean by that is most of us would probably say we're too busy. Most of us have sometimes more commitments than it feels like we can handle, you know, even in the middle of the summer. And I think the holidays sort of takes that and compounds it. You know, it's even more that way. And I think the answer year round, but especially during the holidays, is just intentionality. You know, really saying, okay, I want to carve out time to make this not just a reactive, hurried, stressed out time, but, you know, what can I do that really is helpful in slowing us down and being intentional? And I don't know that I was ever very intentional about the holidays before I got married 11 years ago, but my wife loves Advent. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that has become significant for us, and I think this, you know, works for us as a family, but I think it could work, you know, in a singles context too, is an Advent calendar. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we really enjoy opening up each day's, you know, little surprise. And Jennifer goes out of her way to create activities for each of our kids to do every day during mm-hmm. Advent. And so, and the kids look forward to that. And I think what it does is it provides a kind of structure that mm-hmm. steps out of just the busyness and consumption. Yes. And mm-hmm. And I think moving away from that consumptive mentality is key too, that it's not just about buying stuff and mm-hmm. getting it all done, but really mm-hmm. stopping to savor, mm-hmm. you know, that Thanksgiving is a time to remember what God has done for us mm-hmm. and that Christmas is the advent of our Savior's birth. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's become a way that we as a family have really enjoyed just, you know, spending some intentional time thinking about what the true reason for the season is.
That's mm-hmm. very good. Sure. Mm. Very good.
Well, I would have to say I'm probably in a different situation. Being single, I've never written a Christmas card. Okay. I rely on my dad to do that, and my stepmom and him usually do send out a Christmas card with a family picture, and they talk about what all of the kids are doing. So,
yeah,
you know, I just tell him, hey, Dad, this is what I did this year. Put it in the Christmas card.
Okay, but how long is that, like, still legit? I mean, how many more years, like, can they do that before it's like, no, okay, seriously, Rachel, you need to be writing your own card. You are no longer tacked onto the yeah. family missive. I mean, because it was kind of weird.
You yeah. do make a good point, actually. I don't know. I just don't think about it. And sadly, it does kind of get to me, like, I really should be more intentional in connecting with my family and letting them know how my year was going. Mm-hmm. But that's what mm-hmm. my phone calls to my grandparents are yeah. for, just saying, hey, Grandma, yeah. I'm doing great. Oh, how are yeah. you?
And that's meaningful. I mean, that's yeah. that's a good thing to prioritize.
Yeah,
that's good. So if you had to think of, like, you know, for the next month and a half, what are the things that have to happen? Like, if you're, you know, you cannot mm-hmm. celebrate the holidays without these couple things happening, and you have to make them a priority regardless of what's going on. What are a couple of those things? I mean, Advent is a great example mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. slowing down the days and making that happen. Which, FYI, people, if you haven't bought an Advent calendar, you can either go online, or the best way to do it is after Christmas, go and get them half off to 75% off, let's be honest. Okay.
Unless you're looking for the Star Wars Lego Advent calendar, which sell out so quickly. My son's like, have you got the Star Wars Lego Advent calendar
yet? Well, because
there's, yes, Henry, I have.
There's nothing that infuses Jesus into your holidays than doing the Star Wars Lego Advent calendar. Okay, good.
You know, I don't. We have a pretty small family, and I'm the youngest, actually. There are no little kids anymore. Mm. So I don't think that we necessarily have just things that we want to focus on, that it's either going to make or break things. But, excuse me, I think we just appreciate our times together more. And so we will be getting all together at Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I think it's more just about focusing on each other. What do we need to make that happen? And even among friends, last year a friend had a great idea. She invited a bunch of us to her house and invited us to bring all of the things that we're working on, gifts for Christmas, so that we could still all be together and have time together, because that can be in short commodity too during the season when you're lacking
cool.
time, mm-hmm. but we still get things done. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good idea. I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but if she invites me, I'll come again, you know, but it's, I think it's taking time. You know, the baking that we want to get done for, you know, if it's the mailman or whatever, I try to get things done in the freezer now so that when the time comes, there's not such a crunch to get things figured out for that. But, you know, that kind of leaves a little space then if, you know, there's a concert you want to go to or a mm-hmm. special event at church, just leaves a little more room for that.
That's good.
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I can be a little bit grumpy, a little bit resentful even of just the sheer quantity of activities
that
mm-hmm. I'm required to participate in. And mm-hmm. I think my wife is a minister at a church here in town. So December is an insane month. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff going on, and and because we have a liturgical tradition, we have extra services for things. And sometimes I can just be a little bit Scrooge-ish about the whole thing. And I think in those moments, I have a choice of whether I'm going to be whiny and narcissistic and self-focused, or am I going to choose to get present? You know, am I going to choose to let go of, you know, my sort of self-centeredness and say, no, I'm going to choose to be here right now with my wife, with my kids, with, you know, what's happening in front of us. And I think that that choice to be present in the midst of busyness, it doesn't make the busyness go away, but at least you don't look back and say, I think what you're getting at, Lisa, is it's easy to not be present. And I wonder if taking some time, you know, once a week or, you know, at the end of November, early December, and really thinking through how can I be more present, if that could help with that.
I think it does, because I think for me, and it's again, kind of knocking out a couple tasky things, but also having like my night where I can accomplish some tasks, maybe do the cards, and then put on my favorite Christmas music. I'm not like battling the other people who play Christmas music that I hate. And then I'm like, why are you playing that music? That's so dumb. You know,
music's awful.
And then all of a sudden I'm judging everyone else's taste in Christmas music, you know. So, you know, I think that definitely can be helpful. The other thing I was thinking of is I already have my travel planned for Christmas, which as the single person in the family always involves me traveling because no one else can move their big families. Okay, whatever. But I'm not bitter about that. I've gotten over that.
You gotta don't make me sing Let It Go. I don't want to have to sing that to you.
All right.
I used to be the same way. None of my siblings have kids yet, but my aunts and uncles have young children, so it's very hard for them to gather up all of the kids and come visit us. And every once in a while, I'm like, please come to Colorado. It's a great place. But
it's better than wherever you are.
Sometimes I want to say that.
It's so true. So what I say is, because I'm going away for Christmas and I go to an extremely cold place where it's not like a vacation. The good thing is everything shuts down there, northern Minnesota, so you really can't do a lot. But I try to get all my crazy done beforehand so that when I go and visit my family, I can focus on my family. This comment sponsored by Focus
and
on the Family.
You do go, you do feel happy that you're there, but it's just the idea of like getting prepared to travel during the holidays, going through DIA.
What I cannot do is show up there and have to do all my shopping.
I
will go, like, then I just lose it,
right?
Because then I'm battling everyone else.
So, how does that feel though to you now, though? Then, because is that that's compressing the time that you have now to get that done.
No, it is. So, but I'm trying, that's where I'm trying to tackle it ahead of time by being like, okay, one day this week or one evening this week, I got to do this. And I'm doing that with my packing too, you know, packing up the house and making that happen.
Because that's hard.
So, and Thanksgiving, you know, and then Thanksgiving kind of gets wedged in there, which I actually love Thanksgiving, but it's like,
it's
then
like
you
a
have,
speed bump on the way to Christmas.
But you have like the turkey. Single people have this awkward Thanksgiving thing because it's like, some years either you do or don't get invited to someone's house. So then you're like, well, should I take that invitation? If I do Thanksgiving, like, you know, with a contingent of my family, it means me hosting. It means me planning it, you know, so then it's kind of like, what can I do there? So, you have to negotiate all of that. So,
Definitely.
Well, and I wonder if, you know, you're touching on something else. I've been on lots of times before, Lisa. I was single till I was 34. And I think that's the other thing. As a single person, sometimes it's easy to get, you know, again, a little bit self-focused during the holidays, and a little bit of, you know, self-pity can creep in. I think it's an opportunity to say, what can I do to create community and engagement with other people who may be in the same place I'm at, as opposed to I'm all alone. You know, how can I create a space? I had a number of friends that we would celebrate Thanksgiving together, and we did that for years. And so that's what prompted that thought was, instead of it being a lonely time or a hard time, we really enjoyed celebrating Thanksgiving together.
That's very good.
Yeah. I agree with that. Being single is kind of hard during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. I do get the question from my grandma often, are you dating anyone? And I'm like, no, grandma, let's not talk about it.
What's for dinner?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, and it's like grandmas never like pull you aside. It's always like in front of the entire family or the entire party.
Awkward,
like,
grandma.
How's your love life? What's
going on? You know? And I'm like, oh my word.
But I love getting together with friends during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. It just makes it better knowing that you have a community that you can hang out with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's also fun, like for me, because I go away for Christmas, that I won't have my normal life stuff. So it's like almost when I'm there, again, like I said, life shuts down up there. So it gives me the opportunity, like, you know, my mom is there. I can be the chauffeur for my mom, or I can be, mm-hmm. you know, I can mm-hmm. give time to my other sister who's like, you know, she's trying to get stuff done. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah. clearly I can help you with this. And so it is kind of fun. It almost forces me to slow down and reprioritize, which
That's
is good.
That's very good.
You know, it. I don't know that it's the healthiest thing, but I always associate the holidays with food, mm-hmm. and you know, there are a couple things.
That's very healthy.
There are a couple things
we all have
that,
to eat, Adam.
No, we do. But there are, you know, special treats that I look forward to just mm-hmm. during the holiday season, and mm-hmm. I have clearly had a few too many special treats in my life. Mm-hmm. But you know, just looking forward to those traditions again, I think that's yes. another thing. I think that we live in a culture that has no sense of rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a good point.
We just yeah. go all the time, and the holidays are one of the few things that still are sort of built into our culture, even for those who are, you know, not people of faith, mm-hmm. where I think there's opportunity to cultivate tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do this time of year every year that is just life-giving and mm-hmm. fun and, mm-hmm. You know, really helps us to enjoy the season? And so
yeah.
My mom, you know, makes all sorts of special fun yummy things yes. during the holidays, yes. and mm-hmm. I look forward to that.
Exactly, yeah. exactly.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think of social media and how it used to be that you just celebrated your holiday traditions, and maybe you knew what your neighbors were doing, but now it's like we know what the whole world is doing.
We're going to Bora Bora for Christmas.
And it's like, now I'm trying to follow the traditions and the plans yeah. of everyone in the world, and now I'm all yeah. mad about, you know, now I'm in the know about the Red Cup campaign and who's mad at Starbucks and stuff, and that's already ruined, you know, a good week or so of my
Christmas. Drink your Starbucks.
I know.
Right?
So it's kind of like,
that's probably not the right
30
answer,
years ago, but I would not have known about that campaign or whatever had I not had social media. And so it's like, what does it look like? Like you said, Adam, the rhythm to shut yeah. things off, yeah. to like mm-hmm. focus on what's important and yeah. be about that instead of what your friends in Muncie, Indiana are doing right. for their Christmas.
Because you know? You're not in Muncie, Indiana.
I'm not.
Except
no.
for those of you who are.
That's actually a very important thing in my family. Not even during holidays, we put our phones away during Sunday dinner, mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
the minute somebody pulls out their phone, my stepmom gives you the look, and she'll tell everybody in front of
yeah.
during the dinner table, like, excuse me, put your phone away. So
good.
It's just amazing how mm-hmm. nowadays people don't realize the importance of being with your family mm-hmm. during holidays mm-hmm. or just hanging out, watching football. Why are yeah, you on right. your phone looking at Facebook? Mm-hmm. It can wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'm going to yeah. do that this year, except I'm going to charge everyone $20 if they take their phone out, and then I'll like pay for
Smart.
My Christmas shopping.
Smart.
It's going to be good. That's my
You're
going
to be the most popular person in your family.
It'll totally happen.
It is difficult talking about those cultural expectations too, because even as far as decorating might go, mm-hmm. when you think about somebody coming over, if you know, not having a family in my home besides me, I don't feel the need to decorate. I did for a few years when I first had my home, put up the tree and everything. And I thought, this is much more trouble than it's worth, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm content now just with my little advent calendar, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. and a little snowman by the door, and I can watch Rudolph and be happy for the year, you know. But it's doing the best we can to not impose expectations on ourselves that we might think other people are
right.
expecting of us to yeah. have this perfectly decorated home, or mm-hmm. every little thing is Christmas related. You know, it's if you're welcoming people, they're you assume they're there to see you and you want to make them welcome. Mm-hmm. And it's not about having what you think it should look like.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as long as you've got some red and green M&Ms.
Okay, hey, there you go.
I've totally done that. So last year, it's like every couple years or something, I'll do the big, like I'll cut a tree and put it, or I'll go and buy a real tree or something and put it up. And then that thing has to like go out the door. I have to put gloves on because it's all sharp and crazy.
Yep. And then it goes by the side of the house for 6 months until we figure out how to actually get it to the dump.
But then other years, I have the little, like I have this little fakey tree that's like 2.5 feet tall,
yes,
and that can have any
one.
Kind of ornaments on it. And I'm like, you know what? This year, it's the fake tree year, and I'll just put it up.
And it's just as good.
Yeah, because when I have the big real tree year, then it's like, I just did this big real tree. I need to have 6 parties in my home to justify having decorated this whole thing. And so by that time, I'm just like out of control. Well, good thoughts, you guys. This was fun. And hopefully everyone out there, hopefully you listening have already devised maybe a few strategies of your own. If not, you can listen to this show again and just at least commiserate with us on our own frustrations. But
and get your Star Wars Lego out of that
exactly,
calendar now.
Yeah.
It will be gone.
But truly, the reminder is, you guys, we're celebrating these for a reason. These are great holidays. These are great times to just pause and reflect before heading into the new year and getting back to the hustle and bustle of same old life as we know it. So what a great opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've spent my days asking, when is my time? Why am I right here? Why is it not clear? There's gotta be something bigger than this. In all of my dreams, the grass is so green. Oh Lord, I try to plan out my life, but only you bring.
Well, folks, here we are for this week's culture segment. And, you know, we try to mix it up here at The Boundless Show. We talk a lot about relationships. We talk a lot about faith. And then we also talk about life, because we always have to deal with just life in general. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's mundane. But either way, we're all growing and shifting and learning. So very privileged when we can learn from experts in various areas in this realm. And today's no exception. We are talking with Jeremy Kubitschek. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how are you, Lisa?
I'm doing pretty well. Great to have you as part of the show. Jeremy is actually the author. We're going to be talking a little bit. He has written with a friend, Steve Cockrum, a book called 5 Gears, How to Be Present and Productive When There Is Never Enough Time. And this could be my biography, I guess. I feel like maybe it should have, you know, maybe my life is in there as an illustration. You know, I don't know. I have to remember as I went through the book, you know, yeah, I think I might have seen myself there a couple places. But you know, there's a lot that you have going on, obviously, in the corporate world and beyond. Can you tell us a little bit about your professional experience that kind of is born out of where some of this stuff came from?
Yeah, I'm a kind of a weird duck. I've had a lot of experiences. I lived in Moscow, starting 3 companies in Russia in the early 90s. I've lived in London for 2 years, starting businesses there. I've lived in Atlanta all over, oversaw the growth of the Catalyst conferences as I built those up, and the LeaderCast events. Mainly I've been in the leadership space, but my whole emphasis and work has been creating events and creating programs that really help people grow.
Well, that is super cool. You obviously then are a friend of our friend Brad Lominick, who also is from Oklahoma, so we're not going to let, you know, you're living there now. I'm not going to let you talk too much about it, because we can't let Okies overtake the show. But
absolutely. Brad worked for me for years, and he was awesome at really leading the day-to-day.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the themes presented in the book, because you really do use the analogy of 5 gears, which honestly should be
I have to like get into my head. Okay, we're talking about a manual transmission. If there are five gears, how do you get from one to the next? And why do you think, why is the importance of having a distinction between these and not, say, for example, operate your car in two gears at once? Why is that even important?
Well, it's just like a vehicle. You need each gear. Like there's a time and purpose for first gear, and there's a time and purpose for fifth gear. And the goal here is actually to help people become automatic in emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And what we were finding is that most people get stuck in one or two gears, and they don't understand why they're undermining their influence or why they are disconnecting from other people. It's simply that they're in the wrong gear at the wrong time.
Okay. So you actually walk through the different gears through the book, obviously. And the first one I'm a big fan of because that is about resting and recharging. Big fan. But you're actually saying that that's very necessary. Why do people ignore this one to their peril?
Well, and can I give you all five gears real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right to do that. So let's start with fifth gear. Fifth gear is focus mode. So it's when you're in the zone.
Yep.
So you're working on a project, and someone calls your name three times, and you realize you've just been so focused. Fourth gear is task mode. So it's multitasking, emails, phone calls, spinning plates, a lot happening. Third gear is social mode. So it's the barbecues, hanging out with friends. It's at church. You're talking to people. You're just chilling out. Small talk, vacations, family, work, school, blah, blah, blah. That leads then to either second gear, which is actually going deeper with someone, or it might be that someone has a date or you have a good friend and you go out for coffee and you're just connecting beyond work and beyond small talk. And then first gear is recharge, like you said, which is different for an introvert than it is for an extrovert.
Yeah.
And what we find is that most introverts, they know they need to be alone, but they don't know how and how to really recharge, and then other things get in the way. And extroverts don't really know how to recharge because they don't need as much time alone. And they feel like they should be doing X, Y, or Z because their monkish friends are recharging a certain way. But they don't know how to do it very well. So they oftentimes just kind of mitigate it, and it's not really a part of their life.
Yeah. Give us the, what's the distinction moving into second and third gear? What's the distinction between the two, and why is socializing a higher gear than actually like going deep with someone on a level of friendship?
Well, it's not necessarily higher being better. It's just the fact that we're using an analogy of a stick shift. But third gear is really simply of the whole idea of when you're milling around the room and you're at a wedding with friends, you're somewhere where you have to connect with people. A lot of people have a hard time with it because they think it's a waste of time, or they're mortified by the whole idea because they're shy or they're introverted or something where they just don't want to be around people like that.
Yeah.
So what happens then is they kind of underestimate the influence that they could have in third gear, and they kind of isolate themselves when that happens. So the importance of third gear is I make the case that all business happens in third gear. All connections happen in third gear. Because third gear is where people try each other on.
Yeah.
And they're basically trying on going, do I like this person? There's chemistry and character that gets established in third gear. And if they don't, then you automatically get put in their box in their mind. And it's hard to get out of that box.
Yeah.
So second gear is easier for a lot of people because they want to just go and talk and have a one-on-one. And when they're one-to-one with people, especially those that are shy, they can talk all night because if they feel like someone is for them or they have trust. So we're trying to help people understand you need all the gears. So for those people who are afraid of third gear, then you really just need to learn how to do it. And the easiest way I know how to do it is ask someone, what's their hometown? Where are you from? So Lisa, where's your hometown?
San Jose, California.
San Jose. Okay, what's the most crazy thing or interesting thing that's happened in San Jose?
Wow, let's see. It's been a while since I lived there, but I would say it was my transfer from San Jose going to college that drew mostly from the Midwest. So the culture shock of not being around Asian people was a weird thing for me.
Right?
Yeah.
See, so that right there, we just started a conversation.
Okay.
So that leads to either a second gear conversation and going deeper with someone, or it's a casual, great, okay. They might then ask you, where are you from? So what we're doing all the time is we're helping people understand that you need all of the gears. If mm-hmm. you want to increase your emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. if you want to be really good at the life skills, then you need to know and understand what gear you should be in at what time.
Yeah.
So a lot of busy adults, they'll really undermine themselves because they won't do third gear very well. Mm-hmm. They'll be stuck in fourth and fifth gear. So they might go to a social function, but their bodies are there, but their minds are still in fourth gear.
Yeah.
Or fifth gear.
Yeah.
So when they're talking with you, they're kind of distant, they're kind of half-hearted. And so what it's done then is it's actually undermined their influence, their respect. So people kind of like, okay, and they put them over to the side. I know what that guy's like. On to the next person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think it's easy to see here, even looking through 1 through 5, you know, I could say, oh, yeah, that one's really easy for me, or this one I love. This one, yeah, not so much. And a lot of it is based on just natural inclination or personality or whatever. So it's easy for me to say, oh, that's not my thing, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we're trying to get you to do in the book.
Yeah,
we actually want everyone to rank their gears.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm always in fourth gear. I know how to do that really well.
Yeah.
In fact, there's an unhealthy fourth gear.
Mm-hmm.
So every gear has a healthy and unhealthy. My worst one is first gear. I don't know how to do it very well.
Okay.
So I have to discipline myself by getting a trainer. I have to really make sure that I do certain things. So I created certain trigger points to help me do first gear. So an example, a lot of adults that I know, they are addicted to fourth gear and email specifically.
Yeah.
So the first thing that they do in the morning is they look at their email.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it a goal every day. I don't do email until after breakfast. I also know my time with God gets undermined because I can either sometimes go to Facebook. I go to third gear social mode, like online social mode.
Right.
And I'll go to Facebook. I'm checking my traps. And I know the next generation, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up in the morning and they immediately go to their social networks and look and see what's going on. And what I'm telling people is, like, we're talking about how to be present and productive.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mornings, it's really important, especially for the believers, that they understand how important it is to connect with the Lord and be present. So starting off being present is so much more productive, because what usually happens is either social media or email will set your agenda for the rest of your day,
mm-hmm.
whatever's on the other end of it. If you get a bad comment, if you get someone that does this or that, it can frustrate you and kind of set you off on the wrong footing for the day.
Yeah. Now, how can you tell between the different gears whether you are just flat out, you need to let some things go, or whether you are just poorly organizing your gears or organizing your time? Like, when is it an efficiency issue, and when is it just flat out, I'm doing too many things that either aren't in my wheelhouse, I shouldn't even be in this job, I shouldn't, when it's a right. true problem of readjusting priorities?
And that's a good question. I think it usually comes with, that's where you need friends.
Mm-hmm.
You need people in your life who are speaking it. Probably a lot of people are telling you this. They're giving you cues. The beautiful thing about the gears is it actually makes it objective language, not subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of me saying, you know, at least you're always on the phone and you're always this and that, that sounds like nagging.
Mm-hmm.
And usually people kind of like put it away, going, gosh, what's her deal? What's his deal? He's always this or that. Instead, if I look at you and go, hey, look, we're in third gear and you're always in fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold up a three. All I have to do is hold up three.
Yeah.
And that should call the play.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to take drama out of our communication and relationships by creating a new common language,
mm-hmm.
where people can simply hold up, like my daughter does this to me all the time. She's 13. She'll hold up two fingers. And I'm like, hey, Dad, we're in second gear. We agreed this is a second gear time. And so another thing you can do is you can actually create a calendar with your friends or family or spouse or what have you. And you basically agree on what the gear order should be during the day. So for my family, we said, all right, between 6 and 8 o'clock, that's going to be second or third gear time.
Mm-hmm.
But around 8:30-ish, I need to go back into fourth gear for 30, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is grateful, glad, sure, do what you need to do, because I've dedicated the second and third gear time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
good.
We've just went through our calendar and set up what gear we should naturally be in.
Yeah.
That's another thing that can help.
And getting into, I just want to address fifth gear briefly here, because isn't this true? I mean, when you're saying here, you're fully focused, you're in the zone, you're working without interruption. isn't that, I've seen studies where you can only do that in bursts anyway, like for a certain amount of time each day. Like these people that think that their whole day is fifth gear, that's just like bogus.
Well, no, some people can. It's crazy. I thought that too until I've been going on tour.
Oh, okay.
Talking with people. But it comes down to their profession. Okay. Usually they're introverts and they're computer programmers or their specific like job duty.
Okay.
Is, and they get into these deep mental. So they might be there. But some people want to be in fifth gear all day, which is unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because what happens, they take their food and they eat in front of the computer.
Okay.
So their view of the world changes. Their view of relationships changes. Everything's behind email, so on and so forth. So it is a real dangerous one. So I would tell you, people can do it, but it's not healthy often.
Yeah.
A healthy fifth gear would be, like you said, come in and out, like, let's do it for 2 hours. I'm going to have a two-hour burst. Then I'm going to take a break. I'm going to say hi to people. I might get a lunch. Then I might come back for another hour. Mm-hmm. But it kind of depends on the job and the role.
Mm-hmm.
I've known a lot of people who have a hard time being in fifth gear, but they're in a fifth gear job.
Yeah.
So they're computer programmers, but they're so social. So they love third gear that they have a really hard time kind of staying focused.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm the type of person that values, I actually like sitting down by myself and getting a lot done, but I also see the value of third gear, and so I want to prioritize that as well. Because, you know, you build relationships there, and those will come and, you know, pay back in the future. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's helpful to keep that balanced. Okay, so how can someone determine which one of these is most off balance and take some correction towards it?
Well, so what they do is they actually go through their gear order to go, what are they mostly in?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you spend most of your time? And which one do you have the hardest time getting into? And usually it's very, very clear. People are like, oh, I don't know how to do second gear very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Most people we talk to are in fourth gear most of the time. So they know how to do fourth gear, but the question is it unhealthy or healthy?
Yeah.
It becomes an addictive habit when you're always checking your email, you're always doing your to-do list, and you're not connecting with other people along the way. So I basically have them rank it and rate it and then decide, you know, 1 through 10, how healthy or unhealthy is it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that they can do to really see where they're at. But then the fun part is having a conversation with their friends.
Yeah.
Talking through with friends is so fun because you can all get on the same page. And if you'll use this as a sign language, then you actually can have a lot of fun with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do it with my kids all the time. I'll hold up four fingers when it's chore time. Or at work, at our offices, I might put, guys, I might hold my hand up five. I need to go focus. Mm-hmm. Well, no one bothers me when I have five.
Yeah.
Because I've got a short deadline. I need to get things done.
Yeah. So how can you deal with this when you are working with people or living with people who do not appreciate the gears and are not helping you? So like you have a boss that just wants you to be in fifth all the time, or you would love to get some more second gear time, but quite frankly, your family and friends are all in fourth, so they don't have time for you.
That's a great question. I've never been asked that. that's really good. I think that what I would say is leaders define culture. And if you're the leader of your life, that's one thing. If you're the leader of your team, that's another. So if someone else is defining a culture over you, of say fifth gear, then you have to do your best, like especially if you're an introvert,
mm-hmm.
find one recharge time during lunch. So during lunch, if possible, go to your car, go on a walk,
mm-hmm.
Do certain things to get recharged and keep you as fresh as you possibly can. You know, the unrealistic answer would be, well, move or change jobs or mm-hmm. what have you. So what you have to really do in real life is you basically have to find the colleagues and the friends that get it, teach them the concept, they'll get it and love it. Usually it spreads like wildfire inside an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got hundreds and hundreds of organizations using the five gears inside their world. And, I think it actually helps people because it gives them context for what they've been trying to say for a long time.
Yeah. So interestingly, you and I were talking before we started taping about how Boundless deals a lot with relationships as well and dating and moving towards marriage. In the context of evaluating whether it's just like a potential date or whether you're in a relationship with someone for the long term and you're wondering, can I actually live the rest of my life with this person? Are there going to be obvious things? I mean, we talked about this in connection with emotional intelligence. How can you address this in terms of a relationship? I mean, could this be a red flag if you see someone that's way over prioritizing something? And is it super awkward
Absolutely.
To be like, hi, so I need you to increase your third gear?
Let's picture a young lady at a date with a young man, and she's having a conversation. She's expecting a second gear connect. Mm-hmm. She's expecting to go deeper, to get to know each other. So they're sitting down, and all of a sudden, the guy pulls out his phone and goes, oh, yeah, hang on a second. Oh, one mm-hmm. second. And it goes back and forth, and the phone keeps vibrating, going off. Now we've got a fourth gear meets second gear. Hmm. So that's called missed expectations. Mm-hmm. So that missed expectations is a red flag.
Yeah.
Or let's say you're in a third gear setting, and you're around, let's say there's a guy, it's in a third gear setting, and he's got a date, and she's so timid to come there, or she always presses people to go deeper, but hasn't done this the third gear yet. Oftentimes, you have to do a little bit of third gear before you'll go into second gear. Mm-hmm. So some of this, it could be red flags, or it could be opportunities for growth.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that they're not suitable. But if you keep seeing patterns and they won't change, there's one more gear that's in the five gears, and it's the word, it's reverse. Mm-hmm. Which is basically responsive versus resistant.
Yeah,
this is the one I would say is the biggest red flag. Responsive is a person who, if you say something, constructive feedback, and they never respond, that they're resistant instead. Mm-hmm. Resistance is pride, it's insecurity. Responsive is secure humility. Hmm. So it's like, oh, you're totally right. I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me on that? Mm-hmm. So that alone leads people to respect. Mm-hmm. I always tell people in organizations, hire responsive people, fire resistant people. Mm-hmm. Give them the chance to be responsive, but if they aren't long-term, then they need to be let go. Because the drama that they're creating, the cancer that they have inside the culture is really, really strong.
Yeah.
It's the same metaphor of why did God pull his spirit away from Saul and give it to David. It's because Saul was resistant and David was responsive. Hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because even in looking at, in light of that, it's easy to see how so much of this and the imbalance can come down to either pride or insecurity. I mean, so many of us, you know, we're on our phones checking social networks because we want to make sure we're getting enough likes on something, or we want to make sure people responded to our email about our project we're working on, or we just, and it's become this culture where we can't focus on the person right in front of us because we're so concerned about spinning all our plates of other pseudo relationships and how well liked are we, or what's happening over in this sphere. It's just bizarre. But so
absolutely
true. So true. So,
and it's the whole idea of being present, right?
Right.
And if you're insecure, you can't be present with people.
Yeah.
So have you ever been in a meeting with someone and they're so secure and they're humble and they're relaxed and it just puts you at peace. Mm-hmm. It allows you to connect and you walk away going, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's what you have to do. You have to actually fight to get to that level of being present with people. So I have to create trigger points for me. So I have a bridge 2 miles away from my house. When I reach the bridge, that's my downshift. I actually turn my phone off. Hmm. I put it in my briefcase, and I start praying and thinking about my family and my kids or whoever we're meeting for dinner or whatever we're doing that night.
Yeah.
So that I can get into that gear. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on projects all day today. I've been in fourth gear and a little bit of fifth, and I had to stop, and I had to think about you. I had to think about the show to get my mind there. So that when we talk, I'm on, mm-hmm. I'm present, I'm connecting.
Right.
And most people aren't proactive, they're reactive. Mm-hmm. So it's not intentional, it's accidental.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're trying to help people understand, get in the right gear, think about the gear ahead of time, and downshift, shift or upshift, whatever gear, get into that gear. So when you're there, you can be fully present into that appropriate gear.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for weighing in on this. Folks, the book is Five Gears, How to Be Present and Productive When There Is Never Enough Time. And who of us cannot relate to this? Okay. You can apply this to your work life. You could apply this to hanging out at a party with friends and why is no one talking to you? Check it out. You'll probably figure out why. You could apply it to a dating relationship and just general health, I think, as well. So good points, Jeremy. Thanks for weighing in on this.
Absolutely. There's resources at fivegears.com if anyone wants as well. But just so thankful for you and what you do, and I appreciate the chance to be on with you.
As we open up this week's inbox, we're going to answer a question from one of you, as we always do. And I've got Roberta Pernow here. Hey, Roberta.
Hi, Lisa.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
One of our counselors. We love our counselors, folks. Remember, focusonthefamily.com. You can find out our resources as well as get access to our counselor helpline through that. So if you have a question that might need some counseling and direction and a referral, definitely go there. All right, Roberta, here you go. This listener says, I'm a 25-year-old single Christian woman. The only thing my non-Christian Asian mom seems interested about my life is whether or not I have a boyfriend. She wants me to get married ASAP, probably due to her social conventions and culture. I'm tired of her rushing me into marriage in every conversation. This is becoming a huge hindrance in our relationship because I resent her for pressuring me so much, and I don't want to speak with her or see her anymore. I fear that once I get married, she'll just push me to have a baby ASAP, which I'm certainly not ready for. I've spoken to her about this, but she doesn't change. I don't have anything against dating or marriage, but I do believe that God is ultimately in control of that area of my life. I go out with lots of Christian friends and I meet new people as often as I can, but love can't be forced. Thanks so much for your help.
Well, Lisa, this is very complicated, but in some ways kind of normal. It's really hard for parents to let go, and also for children and both children and parents to redefine their relationship. And this young lady's at the age now where she's an adult, and she's beginning to individuate from her mother, which is a normal developmental process. This is very normal. And decide what's her own thoughts, what's her own feelings, what's her own desires for the future. And that is perfectly normal and okay. The complicated part comes when our ideas about our life conflict with our parents' ideas, which can happen. And it sounds like in this case, it is happening. This young lady mentioned her mom has her own cultural background, which, you know, we respect that. However, this time period is the time period that's difficult because to begin to set boundaries with mom. This young lady said, I've told mom, I don't want to keep talking about this, mom. It's too much. And mom's not hearing her. And that almost comes to a respect issue, that mom isn't respecting that she does not want to talk about this issue. And so this may call for another conversation with mom, compassionately and respectfully say, mom, right now, I am okay with this part of my life. And if you continue to talk about it on the phone, I'm going to have to let you know that we're going to get off. Not because I don't respect you, mom, but because I don't feel like you're respecting me. And that is an honoring boundary. Mm-hmm. God is okay with us setting those boundaries, especially, here's the second part to this equation, especially this young lady is seeking the Lord's direction in her life. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that her mom's a non-Christian, so her mom may never understand this, of course, unless mom later on comes to salvation, which mm-hmm. is what we're hopeful for. But mom may never understand that. And at some point, her daughter doesn't have to keep explaining it to mom. Mm-hmm. If the daughter feels, I'm honoring God right now in my life, I am not ready for this, and I'm just letting my life unfold according to God's plan, that is the most honoring thing she could do to the Lord, mm-hmm. which is who she's really answering to now. Yeah. I think parents, there's that tough spot of, well, they're not a child anymore, and I can't just tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Yeah. And the young lady to help work with those guilt feelings of telling mom, mom, this is not okay. Yeah. Sometimes as a child we'll go to, well, you know, are we hurting mom? Is this right? Mm-hmm. Actually, by putting up that boundary, you're protecting yourself mm-hmm. and you're helping mom grow mm-hmm. if she chooses to. Mom, this is not okay. Yeah. And I'm going to make my own decision and I answer to the Lord now. Mm-hmm. And that is a beautiful thing that this young lady is on that path trying to hear from him. Mm-hmm. Mom may meet that boundary with, how could you? How dare you? You know, what kind of daughter would do that? Mm-hmm. That's probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if her daughter can understand, biblically speaking, she's not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She's trying to honor God. She's trying to put up boundaries and exerting her own independence. All that's normal. And just to pray for mom, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. if mom says, I don't want to talk to you for a while. Yes, that's hurtful, but you can cover mom in prayer mm-hmm. and just know that you're doing right by your heart and God.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Roberta. That's such a great point. And just, it's hard because, like you said, her mom doesn't know the Lord. She's mm-hmm. just operating off of what she knows. Mm-hmm. And moms do. I mean, the same thing happens with my mom. She yes. has her story and she expects that same story from me. Yes. And it's hard for her to see something else. And she wants me to, you know, everything that she had in marriage, she wants that for me too. And so I totally see where she's coming from. But this listener has a great opportunity to be an awesome testimony for yes. Christ and how she treats her mom in light of this. And so I think that you giving practical steps towards that is super helpful. So, all right, folks. Well, that is it for this week's show. We will see you around next week. Please hop over to the blog and comment on this week's show. Until then, of course, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.